something special, something sacred, something unique.
I remember when I was in the Navy and the first time that my ship sailed into Pearl Harbor.
Something sacred is happening.
Anyone who wasn't on duty had to put on their dress whites. And I thought, why do I have to do that?
We're in a series called Pulse.
So the whole ship, except for a handful of guys who
need to beat fast with
down in the engine room and up in the pilot house,
and I have the privilege of talking
in their dress whites,
sensing the sacred.
You sail into Pearl Harbor and you sail down this channel.
I remember when
I was
in the Navy,
they snap you to attention and you salute.
My ship sailed into Pearl Harbor.
You realize why it's important, because there in front of you is the
Arizona. If you're not on watch, if you're not on duty,
and you
get on your
go
dress
by
whites,
that ship,
get up
and
on
you realize
deck,
something precious.
Get in formation. I thought,
something special.
And so a handful of guys,
something unique, something
pilot
costly,
house in the
something
boiler room,
great,
the engine room, they were on duty.
Something undefinable, something
dress whites. And then I found
powerful
out, because they
has
they
happened,
played happening,
and
they called
us to
salute
something
and
sacred.
We passed by the Arizona.
And today we're in a
and you
series about
something
pulse, the pulse of the gospel, and I have the privilege
happened
of talking about
something
yes,
costly,
sensing the sacredness,
something momentous, something bigger,
deeper.
Let's
take you to a story from the scriptures in Exodus chapter 3. It's a famous story, but I'd like to pull out a couple of
momentous
nuances that will help us get a sense of this thing called the sacred.
Scriptures and help us.
Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw, though, that the bush was on fire. It didn't burn up.
It comes from Exodus.
So Moses thought,
I'll
go over and see this strange sight. It's not a bad idea.
Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the
wilderness. Doesn't burn up.
And came to Horeb, the mountain
of God.
So when
the Lord saw
there, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire
from within a bush.
Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up.
Moses said, "Here I am."
So Moses thought, "I'll go over and see this strange sight.
Don't come any closer.
Why the bush does not burn up?
Take off your sandals."
When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look,
the place
God
you are
called
standing
to him from within the bush.
Ground.
Moses.
Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God
Moses
of Abraham,
said,
God of Isaac, God of
Abraham,
Jacob.
And
do not come
Moses
any closer
hid his
God
face.
Said, take off your sandals
to look at God.
For the place where you are standing
the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering.
So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey.
I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering.
So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh
to bring
my people,
the Israelites, out of Egypt.
But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?
A land flowing with milk and honey."
And God said, "I will be with you.
So now,
this will be the
go,
sign
I am
you.
Sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt.
When you have brought the people out
and
of
Moses
Egypt,
said
you will
to
worship God on this mountain.
Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out
Moses
of Egypt?"
Moses said to God, "Suppose
God
I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they
and
ask me, 'What's
the sign
to you that it is I who have sent
you?' What
shall
I tell them?
When you have brought the people
God
out of Egypt,
Moses,
you will worship God on this mountain.
This is what you are to say."
Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me,
'Let's pray.
What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?"
Or God Almighty, God said to Moses, "I am
move
who
in this place.
I am.
Spirit of the living God, fall
this is what
on
you
this
are place
to
say
move
to the
in
Israelites.
Our hearts,
you say the I
bring
am.
Bring clarity to our minds.
I sent you.
Deepen our souls. Animate our bodies so that we are moving
Spirit of
the
living
the
God
that
makes
action.
All things new.
So that we sense and
Spirit
feel
of
and
the
reverberate
living God
with
that
the
pulse
life. Of the gospel.
Deepen our
the good
souls,
news.
Tenderize our hearts.
Spirit of the living God, do what
bring
only
clarity
you can do.
To our minds.
Us. Transform us.
Bring strength to our bodies so that we can
like
be agents of your mercy
Christ
and light in
pray.
This strange, amen. Dark world. In Jesus' strong name, amen.
I think from this passage, there's a handful
there are
of
a
things
few
that I'd love to
from
just
this story that I'd like to use
offer
as a way
up to you
of
as things we can learn
about
this idea
this
of the sacredness.
Of
first,
sacred. God knows your name. He knew Moses' name. He knows your name. He knows my name.
And, God's calling
and you are dearly loved. That God knows Moses' name,
say
and throughout
that
the scriptures
often.
It says that God knows
Pastor
your name
DJ
and your name
and
your name
and your name.
I agree with
my name.
God,
but if
knows
people don't understand who
name,
they are and who, that they are
God
loved by God,
with
often
you.
Our brokenness
and you are
will
dearly
cause us
loved.
To lash out
that
and
needs
hurt
to
people.
Be the ground of
hurt
this
people,
pulse.
Hurt people.
The ground of the sacred needs
so we
to
need
start
to know that
place
we are loved and Moses
we
needed to know
that
he was
loved.
Loved.
Moses needed to know
Pastor
that in
PJ
spite of his past,
said,
which included murder
and, I think this
and
is
a handful
really
of other things, that we need to start with a sense
of
our own belovedness. God.
Because if
Moses
we don't, then we operate in this
your
world
name,
out of
God
our own hurt
name, and, you are
and our own
beloved.
Brokenness, and hurt people hurt
in
people.
In Zephaniah 3:17, it says
so we need
this,
to
the
know,
Lord your
you
God
need
is
to
with
know,
you. He is a mighty warrior
loved.
Who saves.
You are the
he
object of Christ's
love.
Love.
He died
you.
For
you.
And in his you. Love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing.
And
did
Moses
you know that God has a song about
you? In Zephaniah, it says this, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves.
He'll take great delight
in
you.
Over me, and Moses needed
in
to know
his
that.
Love, he will no longer be angry with you, but will rejoice over you with singing.
My God.
Did you know that God wrote a song about
you?
You
and I are dearly loved.
And
it's out of that place that we can sense the
sacredness
of all.
I think that's pretty crazy.
It's out of that place.
That's pretty amazing.
That we sense the sacredness
of all life. But that just trickled down into your heart, mind,
and
soul.
Filling us with
that
compassion.
God loves you and has written
a
song about you and sings it every
morning. Thing that comes out of this story of Moses in the bush. Is God tells him
thing
to take off his sandals because he's standing on holy ground. Where exactly did the holy ground begin?
God calls us
was
into
like
sacred ground, but there's
the
this
bush?
important point here.
Was it like
so Moses gets close to the bush, and the bush says, take
was
off your sandals
on the other side of the hill before
you
saw
ground.
The bush?
Where exactly? Where's the
so
line that says,
is,
oh, right now you're about to step into holy ground?
Was it like 10
or is the whole point, Moses, your whole life?
30 feet
has been spent on holy ground.
On the other side of the mountain before
even
the
time
you
didn't know
exactly is the line that says, ready, holy ground.
So this story helps us redefine the world around us because we are pressed
his whole life
into looking at all the world and seeing God squeezed out. And this story helps us squeeze God back in and realize the very ground you stand on is holy.
You think you have to get next to a burning bush with me speaking to
you not
recognize
that I'm there with you always.
Because without
and every place
God creating
you, go,
you wouldn't be here. That's
including smack in the middle of the Judean wilderness.
And so we need to redefine all of our categories. My youngest daughter, Jody,
so
when
Moses
she was about
helps
five
us
or six
redefine
years old,
what is
she said,
sacred,
Daddy,
what
will you
holy?
Tell me what sex is?
My youngest daughter, Jody, when she was five or
and
six years old,
being the wise
old,
father and pastor
came
that
to
I
me
am,
she
I
asked
said,
me
one
sure,
of those
honey, ask
questions
your
that brings trembles
she
to
said,
every
Daddy.
Father and
I
want to
know what
mother.
Sex is.
She
I said, well,
Daddy,
honey, when you grow up a little
tell
bit,
me what
she
sex
said, Daddy,
is.
I already know what communion is.
And in my wisdom as a pastor, theologian, father, I said, go ask your mother. See, she put something
she said,
together
Daddy,
that needs to be put together.
I want to know what sex is. I said, honey, when,
she's precisely
when you're a little older, she said,
old.
Daddy, I already know
out
what
of
communion
the mouths
is.
Of babes come great, comes great theology. Sex is a sacred gift of
out
God,
of the mouths
and
of
we
babes.
Have profaned it. The table is a sacred sex gift of God, and we turn it into
holy.
Just bread and just wine.
Communion is holy.
But the story of Moses says every
they are
single
seen as
grain
such
of
by
sand
a holy God who gives both
life.
To us. We are the ones who have broken things and
another
turned sex into something profane.
We
are the ones who come to the table and say, it's just bread, it's just
Moses
wine.
Moses realizes that not only is he standing on sacred ground,
but
so are all the children of Israel who are
sacred.
Caught in slavery. And it's unjust.
Open the eyes of our hearts.
And Moses can't hide from
another
him
thing
anymore.
That Moses needed to know
yes
is that now
anymore.
Standing on holy ground and recognizing his whole
action.
Life had
God
been on holy ground,
him to move
he was
into
now
world
coming
and
to
say,
the place where God was going to tell
unjust.
Him that he is
Pharaoh,
called.
Let my people go.
Called to go release the captives who
and
don't know
Moses
that they're
scared,
on holy ground.
I'd be scared
called
too.
To go into a world of injustice and brokenness and cynicism and hate. And say to Pharaoh,
matters.
Listen,
if
let
you know that you
my
are
people
loved,
go.
You know that the world around you is sacred, then that means you
and
see
he doesn't have to
when
worry about his life.
Other sacred beings
because
are
the
being
I
hurt
am
and
is
with
just.
And you have
he's called to this purpose. Injustice matters. And then he asks this question, and God says, I am
God
that I am.
Moses,
I am the
here's
source
my calling
of
card.
All life.
I am that
I
am. I
am the source
am
of
the
all
ground
compassion.
Of all being.
I am
the
essence, source
of
all
source
justice.
Of all life.
Go knowing that
you don't
I
need
am.
Anymore, and there is no less
with
than
you.
That.
And because
I am
of
all
that
your
you
whole
need,
life
Moses.
Is
go.
Ground.
It's a powerful thing, friends.
So I'd like to talk about how we move out into the gospel to make sure that the pulse of the gospel
is rippling through all of our lives.
And pulse is an interesting concept.
Sensing the sacred all around us.
3 weeks ago or so, I went to the doctor for my annual physical.
3 weeks ago or so, I went for my annual physical. I was kind of intrigued to see.
And so this is kind of a cool thing, my annual physical, to go and find out, well, years.
And is and all the stuff inside reflecting that I've been doing some work and eating right and all that good stuff?
So I had my blood test and had all this.
Glenn, your blood test came back and my whole staff wants to know how you're doing it.
Because the staff wants to know
what you're doing. Because you have the biomarkers of somebody under 40 and
because you have the biomarkers of someone much younger than you and they want to know how you're doing it.
I'm like, well, it's
yes, and you all can do it too, by the way.
Lots of good stuff. And she's like, well, whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
She says so, and your heart's doing really good and keep doing all that stuff.
And your heart is good.
And that's great, this annual physical.
All of that stuff.
I mean, that's helpful.
So I was happy about
but as much as I work and work out and eat,
but then
right,
a week sooner after or later, that, I had to go to another place,
another kind of clinic.
Sooner or later,
to have another
it will still
out.
Come to a big crashing
because
end.
As important as this physical life is, and
so
it is important.
The scriptures want to remind us
that as important as your physical life is,
no matter
and
how
is,
many weights I lift,
there's
no
something
how
that's
many
even
miles
bigger
run,
than that,
and it is the
spinach
I eat.
Of your
one day
soul,
I will die.
Of your mind.
One day the whole thing comes to a big crashing,
a different kind of pulse.
So to get that heart checked
so
up,
Bible
I had to go
to
a different,
even more
kind
important
of clinic.
A spiritual
heartbeat.
Left a couple of weeks ago with a team of 13 or so people from Good Shepherd.
Went to Honduras.
And it's one of several mission trips that we take
team
to different 13, points around the United States,
down there
around the world, and
God's
a couple places in the United States.
Jesus,
this happens to be with our partners in
the
Comayagua area of Honduras.
And I go down there
and it's
because
called
I need
Eliadante,
to go down there.
Meaning to serve.
But let me
and we
tell
go
you
down there
a little
and we
bit
do
about
a whole range
down there.
Of things.
First of all, I need to greet
and it
you
was
like
a
the
wonderful, wonderful trip. Let me
Buenos dias, Good Shepherd. Hallelujah.
From our Honduran brothers and sisters, they would say to you,
Buenos dias,
Good Shepherd.
Buenos dias.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Adios. Ready? Try that.
Oh,
here we go.
So weak.
Buenos dias.
Okay, so you got to get the
hallelujah.
You got to get the
that was weak.
Ready?
You got to really punch it on the loo.
Ready?
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Hallelujah.
All right. Glory
wow,
adios.
Man, take
glory
that,
adios. But, and then glory. Dios.
You just said
glory
good
to God.
And
welcome so the team went down
Shepherd.
There and we had the opportunity
glory
to put in
to
8-10 water filters.
Hallelujah.
Because the water down there
and
is
and the
nasty.
Team that I was with had the privilege of
because
putting
they
in,
drink
I don't know, close
they cook
to
with
10
it, they wash their clothes
water
with
filters,
it, they wash their cows with it,
so
their dogs swim
families
in it,
can have clean
they
water
use it to get rid of stuff,
because it's really nasty,
the water that they
so
drink and bathe in,
and
their cows drink,
so we go
and
to
their
bring
dogs
these
bathe
water
in,
filters for $100,
it's
we can put a water filter
one
in a family's house
thing.
For the last 10 years, and the whole family's life has changed,
so we put in water filters to give them clean water, and then we
put
in
latrines.
Some of you that were
just
thinking of going next
in,
year are now saying, latrines, no, maybe I don't want to go on there.
Now,
trip
some
there.
Of you
no, we put
are
them in on the front end when they're
thinking,
clean.
Maybe I should go to Honduras. Now you're like,
when it's just wet concrete.
No, we touch it on the front end.
A house, a little tin
we,
siding
we put
house.
In the concrete.
We put in
the latrines.
Now, I want you to think about this.
But I want you to imagine living life.
What was life like in that family?
Without a place to go to the bathroom.
I want you to think about your life without a place to go to the bathroom. That's crazy.
So we have the privilege
so water
of putting in
and
some
a latrine
latrines,
and changes this family's
life
to
forever
all
around
a couple
of school,
hundred
doing
bucks.
A VBS for 170 kids.
It's amazing to me.
That's one of my favorite times is we drive up.
It's great work.
We get to this
work
village
with
up in
the
mountains
and
there's about 170
village
kids
that
we partners
with,
and stuff and they shut
with
down
our
the school
partners,
so we can
they work with partnership
the Honduran
with the
villages,
the school, they,
the
villages,
the ministry,
Good Shepherd,
which home
really amazing thing. It's kind of a great model. We think so anyway.
Part of the water filter.
And it's really cool.
We
drive up
government
and because I was there last year, several kids came running up to me and they said,
Pastor
and the local all work together to make this happen.
Okay, let's try that.
Thing.
Ready? Pastor.
Last year we
yeah,
did a VBS at this
you got
school,
the picture
so we
now.
The
all right,
school.
Just go up to Gary
so
and Greg and PJ and say,
Pastor,
PJ,
kids.
Greg.
Okay, anyway, forget that.
You know, from like, I don't know, preschool all
and
the
that's
way up to
cool.
fifth grade,
and it's
sixth grade,
amazing
like
the
that,
day, next day when we do second
and
day of VBS and we leave.
And screaming, and they see the bus coming, and they know what's happening.
And I get out of the bus because I was there last year. They say,
Pastor Glenn.
Ready? Let's try that.
Same.
1, 2, 3.
Adios, Pastor Glenn.
Yes, come that's kind of cool. Just go up to
so
Gary and Greg and PJ and say, my favorite
well,
pastor.
Another
no, I'm
20
just
of you will be with you next year. Sign-ups are starting today for next
so
year
that's
because
a really
it's a
special
really cool
moment.
Thing.
It just, And we got to do a clinic, a bunch of clinics on it.
But then the next day we have to leave.
We got to pass out some meds. We got to do a sports camp. Some really amazing things. And our partners down there are doing great work.
So sign up, start today.
And it was really a cool trip. But I go down there, you just need to go. I've realized not because of all the good stuff that we do.
Amazing trip.
We get to do medical clinic.
I mean, we do
for hundreds
do
of people
stuff,
on both
really cool.
the other side of the mountain. And
I go down there because I need my spiritual.
Get to bring
heart
meds. We get to do a sports camp, and
it's
so
really a
during the week we've been working on these water
trip
filters.
But I don't go down there because I'm a good guy.
And it gets kind
of
warm.
I don't go down there because of all the good
Honduras
work we get to do
by about
which
noon
is part of the story, and it's all
and
true.
I
go down there because I need
nasty
another kind of heart check,
and it was hot.
I need
I'm
to see is the
no
pulse
it really
of the
is
gospel rippling through this pastor's
it's
heart.
Hot.
And I
or
had
am I
finished
motivated
my bottle
by other
of water,
stuff,
and we were supposed to take a lunch break.
So one
and
day,
I said, okay,
we're
I need
putting
some
in
water.
Where's
and
the water?
Can I say that it gets hot in Honduras?
I need to refill my bottle. Well, it's in Jonathan's
and
truck.
We got
he's
done
one of the project
water
managers,
filters,
and
that drove up
mixing
in this truck.
Concrete by hand.
Okay, where's Jonathan's truck?
It's over there. Okay,
trust me.
Jonathan?
Sign up.
He's
there's
right
other
there.
Things
okay,
you can
Jonathan,
do.
Volleyball. Play volleyball.
I need the keys to the truck. And he goes, so I run out of water. I drink my water bottle, and I say, okay, I need water. Where's the water jug? Well, the water jug's
in
there, the
truck. Pastor
where's the
Glenn?
Truck?
Where?
Over there.
In the truck.
Okay, where's the keys? The keys are with Jonathan.
My brother.
The Honduran Project
that's
manager.
Not the
hey,
way
Jonathan,
this is supposed
I need
to work
the keys.
Okay,
so
Pastor.
They're supposed to be in your pocket.
Oops.
They're in the truck.
Hold on a second. Pastor, I don't have them. Where are they?
They're in the truck.
So I got to help take a couple of
but the truck
my
is locked.
Honduran
I know.
Friends, and I got to use
so
some
how are we
going to
get in?
I
don't know.
In misspent youth. And I was irritated.
And we got into the truck.
But thanks to some skills learned in a misspent youth,
but I
was able
irritated
to help the team, coach them a little bit, and pretty soon we were able to get
because
into the
truck.
Power had gone out in the mission house every day that week because the fans weren't working,
irritated.
And it's hot at night, and because Wi-Fi wasn't working,
it was
because
hot
the roads had gotten rained out, because the rain doesn't come down
and
this way in
week
Honduras, it comes this way in sheets, like where the AC had gone out every day. And so I was irritated that
no
I,
life,
Pastor Glenn,
where
the great,
get
wonderful
out,
Pastor
the
Glenn from Good Shepherd
road,
in Naperville, was inconvenienced because I could not get
day and I'm
my
not talking
water
about the kind of rain that falls this way. I'm talking about the kind of rain that blows this way.
So that
so
night,
to have the
keys
locked
in
the truck,
and
we were
talking
I was irritated,
about
and
I was like,
wait matter
a second, I am Pastor
and I
Glenn, and I need
bed
water, and I'm building concrete stuff
God
for you. How dare you not have water for me?
Place.
And the Spirit kind of just nudged me and said, hey,
and that night
Glenn,
we had some devotions.
So, about your
I was challenged to think
today
a little bit, and I'm laying in my bunk, and the Holy Spirit
irritation
shows up in my bunk.
Hey.
Even a bunk in Honduras can be sacred ground. And the
but
Holy
were
Spirit
you more
nudges
irritated
me and says,
so
by
you're
your
irritated
being
huh
inconvenienced?
Irritation's not a bad
why
thing.
Why weren't you more irritated
but by
the
injustice of
the
millions of people living without water? Hundreds of millions of people living without a place
to go to the bathroom
in the world where
why
hundreds of millions of people
more
don't have clean water and don't have a place to
just
go to the bathroom. Glenn. Which were you more irritated about, Glenn?
See you later. Just a thought
for you
so
to ponder
the
as you go to
the
sleep
gospel needs to be running through my heart and your
so
heart.
So I go to Honduras because I need to
we
make
need
sure
to learn to pay attention. We need to learn to understand with empathy. We need to love with connection.
That I'm learning
today
to
I'm talking about we need to sense
that
the
I'm understanding
in
all
other
of life
with
and
empathy.
That inspire
that
us
I'm
and
loving
other
people
move
with
us
connections
and
that
empower
I'm
us and then
the
embody us
all around me and then out of all
life
of that embodying new life
because
and
all
moving
of us have unhealed wounds
with compassion
secret
we've
shames
been basing this series
places
in part
where we've been
on
unsafe
Frank Rogers
undeveloped
work, the way
of Jesus
visions that have not
practiced
come out
and
let
the Spirit of God wants to release those in us like
he
did with Moses like he does with me like he wants to do with you.
He says sensing the
pulse of the gospel ripples through our
spiritual expansiveness. Compassion is a spiritual energy
of our lives.
When our hearts open to others' suffering and a sustaining love
this
full,
series
flows
is
through
based
us,
in part
the veil
of
the everyday world we live in is pierced and revitalized.
The way of Jesus' compassion and
time
practice, let me
to
read
stop
to you what he says about
errands
this
lose their urgency
sense of sacredness.
Perennial irritations feel petty and
he says
frivolous.
Compassion is a spiritual
in those
energy
moments, our spirits expand.
When our hearts open
our
to others' suffering
to care
and a sustaining
deepens
love flows
our understanding
through us, the veil
of the
everyday
of others
world we live in
and our
is pierced
seems infinite.
And relativized. Time seems to stop. Errands lose their urgency. Perennial irritations feel petty and frivolous.
Sacredness.
In those moments, our spirits expand. So our capacity to care deepens. Our understanding for the plight of others extends, and our patience seems infinite.
Case study in grace, Jesus' life. It comes from John chapter 4.
So this idea of
let's see how Jesus rippled with the pulse of the gospel.
And John chapter 4 says this. Now he had to go through Samaria,
so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph.
Jacob's well was there,
and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well.
It was about noon.
People.
Comes from
when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had already gone into town.
Says now Jesus had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon.
Jesus answered her,
when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her,
"Will you give me a drink?"
You would have asked him, and he would have given you.
His disciples had already gone into town to buy food.
Sir,
the Samaritan woman said to him, "Well, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman.
Well is deep.
How can you ask me for a drink?
Living water?
For Jews do not associate with Samaritans."
Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again.
But whoever drinks the water I give them,
you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.
Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water
welling
up to eternal life.
And the well is deep."
The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty,
and I won't have to keep coming back here to draw water."
He gave us this well,
and he drank from it himself.
He told her, "Go call your husband and come back."
Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty
again." "I have no husband," she replied.
"But whoever drinks the water..."
Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands.
Indeed, the water I give them will become in them
your husband.
A spring of water welling up to eternal life."
"Sir," the woman said,
"I can
see
that you are a prophet.
Give me this water.
Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place
where
we worship is in Jerusalem."
"Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me when I tell you, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know. Salvation's from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to
us. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but
you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem."
"Speaking to you."
"Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
How Jesus sees
for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks."
John, in writing this gospel,
includes one little detail so that we know
something bigger is going on. He says
that
she's a woman alone
at noon
coming,
drawing water.
When he comes, he will explain everything to us.
One of the things that I learned when I go down to Honduras
is that
if you have to walk to go get water, like walk a mile or two or three or four, and you have to do it uphill or downhill or
through
some crazy
area,
it takes hours to do it.
Then leaving her jar,
you do it early in the morning because you don't want to do it when it's 98 degrees in the shade at noon. You want to do it at about 6 o'clock in the morning when it's still 68.
They came out of the town and made their way toward
him. And then if you run out of water during the day and you have to get some that day, you go after the sun is starting to go down because it's cooling off again. You don't do it in the middle of the day unless...
Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?
My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work,"
Jesus said.
How many of you have ever been the object of someone else's
gossip? It's a powerful
gossip.
Story, and John writes it in a way
that
he gives us some clues.
The butt of someone's joke.
And I really fully understand some of these clues, having been in Honduras on that mountain when it's hot at noon.
Whisper.
This is a woman who is
have ever
at the
walked
well
into a
alone
room with a group of people talking, and as you walk in,
John
they're
includes
all of a
that little
quiet?
Detail so that we can say,
"Hey, how are you?"
Everyone do this.
And
now,
you
say,
wonder, what were they talking about just 1 second ago that I can't hear?
Right there.
Wouldn't be about me, would it?
I wonder why John includes that.
And so this is
because if you live in a culture where you have to walk several hours to get
five
water,
husbands, come on, lady,
and
get
it gets
together.
Hot at noon, but many people throughout the last 2,000 years have interpreted this as she's
or
a woman
if you
of
run
repute.
Out, you go late at night.
Let me just tell
because
you that
it's 20 degrees cooler.
To interpret it that way.
And
why?
That
because
Honduras,
she lives in a culture where she has no
world,
control.
Africa and other places where you have to walk many, many, many meters.
She cannot
miles
initiate
and hours,
a divorce. Only the men can. So
if
she has been dumped
noon,
by one after another, maybe lost one or two,
because
that's when
because
no one else is
there.
There's a Roman legion of 10,000 soldiers just down the street from where she lives, and they don't treat Jewish and Samaritan women too kindly.
She doesn't want to hear the gossip anymore.
And so now she's finally got a guy who knows. He comes and goes because they don't even want to get married anymore. So this is a woman who's been broken and crushed.
She does not want to hear all the shameful statements.
And we know John is fully aware of what happens if a woman is caught in adultery, because four chapters later
he tells us
anymore, so she'll endure the heat of the day all alone in the Judean wilderness to go to Jacob's well,
because
that pain
about her. Why can't she
is way better to endure than the pain of all those people around.
What is, don't hang around her, kids.
How many of you have ever been
the
butt of someone's joke?
Be like everyone else. What's wrong with this woman?
How many of you have ever been labeled by
someone?
How many of you have
she's
ever been
she's in Samaria,
the
and
Samaria is
the bad
neighborhood
gossip.
Because they've been in civil war for like 700
have
years.
Have you ever walked
been
in a room and,
a whole bunch
and there's
of
animated
going
conversation
going on,
and as you walk in, the conversation
desecrated
shuts these
down
people,
and people
turn to you,
and the
they
Jews
say,
in Jerusalem
hey.
Hate the people in Samaria. So you don't
and
go
you think,
through Samaria if you're a Jewish man. And when Jesus sees signs that say don't go here, he goes, I think I'll go that way. And he heads right for the sign. When Jesus sees labels on people and says, don't touch this one, they're unclean. He's like, I can't wait to hang out with that person. That's my favorite
person. Jesus knows.
In fact, he got a reputation.
Jesus hangs out with sinners, the unclean.
The old way of interpreting this by many people, especially male scholars, was, well, obviously she's had five husbands. She's a woman of ill repute.
More about the sacred.
But that cannot be the case, because in her culture she didn't have the power
about
him
right
out of their own brokenness to divorce. She's been
he risks
his reputation.
He
breaks down by several men, and now the guy she's with isn't even her husband, because maybe she can't even get the energy to do that out of his comfort zone.
Maybe
who knows what
he takes
her
seriously,
like her spiritual questions,
intellectual
questions. He doesn't say, "Hey, who are you?"
He says,
"You
need healing.
You need water that cleanses you. You need a water that becomes a resource that shows you your identity is not subject to what other
people
say about you. It doesn't matter that you're the butt of everyone's joke, because you are the object of God's love." Love, and he sings love songs
and
over
from
you
that moment
day.
On, she recognizes he is someone
so
special.
Jesus brings her.
She is in the presence of the I Am. She leaves her jar there by the water
because he senses there's something sacred
well
happening runs back
at
to her
well.
Village and says, you'll never believe who I've met. You
and
see, when you meet his
I
reputation,
am.
It tends to be sacred, and now you realize every moment
so
around
to
you
move
is
towards
sacred,
other
people
in sacredness.
You have to be willing to
it.
Risk your reputation.
Because Jesus doesn't care about his reputation.
Are you willing to risk
he
your
wants
reputation
her to know
to reach
that
out
she
to
is special to
God,
and God
aisle.
Has a song about her and sings that song every morning.
To reach
and
out
she
to
just
someone
doesn't
who,
know it.
Who doesn't fit your economic status, who's not
and
quite
like
up
that.
To
every
your social
in this room,
level. Are you willing to risk your reputation to hang out with
and
people who are broken,
include
who are hurt, who are
wounds.
Injured, who have fallen
some
through the cracks of society,
secret
because
shame.
That's precisely where the sacred
some of those
is.
Stories
Jesus said at the end of time, the Lord
places
of
where we've
glory
felt
will come in his judgment, and he will say, where were
we
you?
We come with undeveloped gifts. We come
when
with bold visions that have not been born.
And Jesus were hungry and
come into our life
and
let
their
living water well up so
we
can see
we are more, we are meant
for
more. We are more for a purpose. We walk on sacred
so
ground
Jesus
and we are to go out into
to
this world and bring that light of compassion and mercy.
He got a bad
Jesus
reputation.
Name.
People said he eats with sinners.
Ha ha. It's powerful.
Imagine that.
So while I was
it's
down
a powerful
in Honduras,
story where Jesus
I got
breaks
a text
in
on
breaks
Thursday,
down
late Thursday
walls
night,
and moves towards
a week
the other
ago Thursday.
He's not supposed
and
to be in Samaria because the Jews and the Samaritans have been fighting a civil war back and forth for 700 years, and
that
there's intermarriage that's
Ruth.
Gone on. And according to the Jews, especially the
she
ones
came
in
into
Jerusalem,
this world
these people
on
are
Thursday
unclean.
Night.
Yep.
So you avoid this area at all costs. And Jesus says, oh, really? I'm supposed to avoid it?
Weighing
I think
in
I'll
at
that
6
way.
Pounds, 14 ounces, 18 inches long with a full head of hair.
That
that's
is
the place I'm not supposed to hang
child
out.
Number nine.
Go. Sounds like a fun place.
Woo, baby, yes.
Sounds like a place where I can
that's
get
so
into
cool.
Some sacred
that
trouble.
Is a sacred moment.
I once asked a bunch of
fourth and fifth
graders.
I want to live as long as I can, as hard as I can, so my grandkids say,
"How would you describe worship?
Man, the gospel's amazing.
For me." And
look at our pa.
Well, that's easy, Pastor Glenn.
Look what God has done through his life. I want that.
See, he redefines categories.
What a cool
thing. God shows up in this place where no one else will. To meet the needs of this woman,
next week,
this Samaritan woman. He
doesn't
care about
his reputation. Hopefully
he gets out of his
Thursday
comfort
still
zone.
Finalizing
he
some
treats
details.
Her
I am headed to the other side of the world to go see,
he
well,
treats
to go
her
see
as
this
intellect.
Family. He has a theological
my daughter,
conversation
my son-in-law,
with her.
My four grandsons.
He shows her that he knows her. He knows her pain.
The littlest one that my son-in-law is holding,
and then he points her to
Thurston, and I've never met him.
It's an important thing.
So that'll be a sacred moment when I get to see him. He's
so last night, about a half hour
now,
before the Saturday night service,
really
I got
cool.
a text from Pastor Greg.
I remember when Melissa,
I got ahead
my daughter,
of myself. See,
called
so
me and said, "Daddy, I met a boy."
By the little statement about me preaching. And
but she had that sound in her voice.
Dads, if you haven't
so
heard that yet,
that,
it's coming. I misread my note.
Daddy,
I was trying to shorten it, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go back to the other one.
I met a boy.
Thanks. Chris said, "Keep going. I'm going to go."
It turns
so
out he
here's
was
the other text
when
I want to tell you about. First,
though,
I got this text while I was in Honduras,
dreadlocks
late at night
shoulders.
On Thursday, and it had this picture.
Yes,
that is Tessa
know,
Ruth.
Little,
That is my number 9
he's not
grandchild.
Blonde-haired,
blue-eyed
with the last
baby, name yes.
We're not sure that he's the best for her.
And she came into the world weighing in at 6 pounds,
not
14 ounces, 18
in
inches long,
business.
Full head of hair.
Major.
That's number 9.
He played superstar soccer for
so
the Australian national team after he got out of college.
That.
And he's a great father and he loves Jesus.
And that's a sacred moment for me
no,
to see
No, we're just
that.
Not sure
then
he's the
next
right
week,
boy for Melissa.
Thursday, probably this week,
we
I'm
had
leaving
conversations
to go to Papua New Guinea
about
the
implicit
the
racism
family.
That runs through my family.
That's my daughter who lives in Papua New Guinea. That's their land. That's
these are people who told me all
my
life
my
that they love
grandson.
Jesus, and they do.
So just leave that picture up for a second.
But we all have stuff, friends, and it comes out in the most.
I remember the day she
most,
called
okay,
me and
now
said,
they love
"Daddy."
Him.
But then, I before the wedding, oh man, we had some conversations in my family.
And then she brought him home.
Because he's black as the ace of
and
spades.
His
and
head
she's
is shaved.
Blonde-haired,
then
blue-eyed. And that's why
I
call my grandsons
the
mocha
babies.
Shoulders. And
someone said
some
to me, Pastor Glenn, aren't you concerned? Because
family.
There's the second highest rate of domestic violence in Papua New Guinea. That's one of the
people
reasons she's there
Jesus,
to empower women.
With
one of the reasons he's
life.
There is to show men that
my
they can
mom,
live differently. For Jesus Christ.
Said,
the people have said to me,
concerned?
Why don't you tell them to come home where it's more safe?
I mean, we just want the best for her.
Is it safe
sure
for my grandsons
it.
Who look like that?
Why is that?
Just saying.
I mean, see, when it comes
have
close
to do with the
to
color
you.
Of his skin, would it?
When they're your grandsons.
So last night, half hour before the Saturday night service,
and
I got
so
a text from Pastor
my
Greg.
Daughter is obviously.
He said, at our services this weekend, make sure you lift up prayer for Charlottesville.
So I call my grandsons
and make
the
sure
Mocha
you
babies.
Tell the people of Good Shepherd, evil is always
because
evil, and we need to call it evil when we
skin.
See it. Because the light has come into the world
people
and
say,
darkness
it be
has not overcome
for them to
it.
Come back to the United States. Wouldn't it
pray
be
for Charlottesville.
Here?
And I said, what's Charlottesville?
Because they're in a third world country.
Because I was in Honduras
so
and I
tell
didn't
you about
do
the text that
Facebook
I got from
and all that other
Greg
stuff, and I didn't do the news.
Worship.
And knowing
and
that I'm leaving,
sure
I thought,
you
know, I'm just gonna stay away from the news
in
for
prayer.
This whole continuum and see if my life
because
is okay.
The light has come, but the darkness
and it wasn't doing
not
okay until I got this text
and
last
I said,
night.
Charlottesville, what
and
happened?
And then I dug into Charlottesville.
Because I really wasn't on
and
social
and I know
media
just enough
for
to
a week
see
in Honduras
that hate has
I'm
broken
out
again.
Out of the country again for 3 weeks at the end of this
the Bible
week,
says
thought, you know,
we should love what is good
I mean,
and
I just,
hate.
I just won't pay attention to social media and the news.
Word in Romans
really,
12,
will my life be that damaged?
It is evil when one people judge another people by the.
And so I didn't know anything about Charlottesville,
label.
And so a half hour before
the
service last
by
night,
the
I clicked on the news
of
and I just saw
and
the
it doesn't matter what political side you're on as a follower
I mean, for
2 minutes
of Jesus,
and I had
you
enough.
Stand
I don't
at the
know
foot
all
of
the
details.
Cross,
I do
and
know
you say
this.
That's wrong.
But that's evil.
And I will stand in the gap.
And I will not let it happen
and
in
it's
my
evil
life
because
my watch,
breaks
it,
my
sense
my
of the sacred
that
people are created in the image of God.
I will name evil and injustice.
And the church needs to rise up.
Even if it costs you.
And it doesn't matter what side
bless
of the aisle you're on. It matters that you see things
high.
That are wrong.
You are
Paul said in
God's
Romans
grace.
12,
we need to
Jesus
love
got most angry when he went
good.
Into the temple
and
they
hate
weren't taking sacredness.
Evil. seriously because they were cluttering it up with all kinds of other stuff, and he took a whip and kicked them out. He said, this is a place, a prayer for all people.
Sacred, that he took a whip into the temple, and he said, this place,
he wept over Jerusalem when the leadership of the country had
for all people
right,
and was
taxing
people till they were broken. Jesus wept over Jerusalem.
He got angry when,
people tried to keep the children from him.
Lorded it over.
He got angry when seekers would come to him with questions
and
people would try to push them
away. Jesus got angry when people tried
to keep him from children.
He got angry when people
were marginalized.
Jesus got angry when seekers would come with questions
and people would try to push them away.
Pushed through the cracks of society.
He got angry.
Jesus got angry when the marginalized were pushed into the corners because
told they didn't matter.
Jesus got angry
because
there's not a part of your life or my life that we can say, this is not sacred.
And we need to remember that, friend.
Next week, we're going to talk about how to take loving action in this world.
But, God has
but right now, as we sing this
holy
song,
compassion,
would you just do a little heart check?
Of all things,
how is the pulse of the gospel rippling through your life? Where does your heart
pulse of compassion? Next week, we're going
need
to talk
a touch
about
from
to
Jesus
so
today,
you see injustice
you to do a heart check in your own
and
heart.
Compassion for what they are.
Where does your heart need some cleansing so that it beats with the heartbeat of compassion of the gospel?
Lord, let me see. Consider that as you see. Song. Give me eyes for those around me. Make my heart aware of the battles that are raging. Help me love as you love. Spare Lord, let me see as you see. Give me eyes for
night in Jesus' life where he was in Jerusalem and no one could sense the sacred. In fact, it was an angry, unjust, terror-filled time. And in the middle of that, Jesus gathered his team together, and in spite of the fact that they'd been arguing about who was greatest in the kingdom, who would get the best seat, they didn't have a clue what was happening. Jesus said to that group of guys, that group of women, you are my friends. I call you friends. And then he invited them to a table and he took bread and said something strange. He said, this bread is my body. It's broken for you. Every time you eat this bread, remember that I've laid down my life for you. Then he took a cup after supper and he gave thanks. He said, this cup is my blood shed for you. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, remember that all of life is sacred. Bread and wine and this table and this place and the person sitting next to you. And I'm going to feed you with spiritual food, Jesus said, because I'm the bread of life and I am the new wine. And then having been fed, I'm going to send you out into the world so that you can overcome evil with good. So that you can be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in a world that needs the pulse of the gospel. So that you can be a sacred place, a sacred person, moving in the power of the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this moment. Thank you that you offer forgiveness. Thank you that you offer food at your table. Thank you that you are powerful and mighty to change hearts. draw us into a place where we see all of life around us as sacred. Show us how to move with loving compassion. In Jesus' name, let's pray the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, as our communion servers come to prepare to serve you, a couple of words by way of instruction. When you come, if you'll come up to the table on your way, if you're prepared to give offering, know that all of your life is holy ground, and we give into holy ministries that bring the sacredness of the gospel and the pulse of the gospel locally and around the world. So give on your way.